Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But I read this, and this is unknown. I don't know the author of this, but I read this little description, and it doesn't matter because it's a true description of a local place. It's a cathedral in Milan. And the cathedral in Milan has three gates. And one of the gates says this. Over one gate, there is an inscription in marble under a beautiful flower bouquet that says, check it out, one of the gates, "The things that please are temporary. The things that please are temporary." That's one gate. Now, there is another gate, and there's another inscription on it, and there is a cross. There's not a flower bouquet, but a cross where the inscription is. It says, "The things that disturb are temporary." So the things that please are temporary. The things that disturb are temporary. And then in the main gate, it says, in the central gate, there's an inscription that says, "Eternal are the important things." Eternal are the important things. Everything else is temporal. And yet, we know that Jesus is eternal. And he's not a thing, but he is the most important thing. Right? When we talk about eternal things, it's Jesus himself. So let's go and let's get on right to it. Number one, the Father of eternity. When we look at Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to read those two verses, 6 and 7. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father." And in some Bibles it says, "Father of eternity." Father of eternity, which is perfectly fine, actually, and Prince of Peace, all right? "There will be no end to his increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So it is God's own doing when he establishes the kingdom of Jesus Christ on earth. And you'll be there, and I'll be there. Amen? Don't be scared. It's all going to be okay. Read the book of Revelation. And when you read the book of Revelation, it's a book of hope, believe it or not. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, the Almighty, conquering. You read about all those crazy things going on there, and you're thinking, oh, my God, no. Oh, my God, yes. Come over and get it all over with. We want to be with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go to the first one. When we talk about Eternal Father, when it calls him eternal Father, then we need to think of in which ways is Jesus eternal to us. First of all, actually, instead of saying Eternal Father, we're going to refer to this as Father of Eternity, because that's exactly what it means there. He is the Father of Eternity. Think about that. He is the Father of Eternity for you and me. He's the Father of Eternity. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, let's see, we got it there, we got it there. I don't have it over there, so I'll have it here. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who is this? It's Jesus himself, right? Description of Jesus. This is him. Now, keep on going. "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him." You hear that? Who is he talking about? John is talking about Jesus. And he's saying all things came into being through him. And apart from him, Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. And verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light that shines towards men." The light of men, okay? So when we look at this, we can say then, and you can parallel John chapter 1 with Genesis chapter 1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the earth, the heavens and the earth." This is amazing. Now in John chapter 1, it's saying, well, in him, in Jesus is all created. So Jesus is the Father of eternity, and we can look at that in light of him being the Father of creation. He is the Father of creation. When you look at this, then you know that Jesus is not just an inactive kid that the Father gives him all creation. Says, here, I'm going to make this for you. I'm going to make this for you. I'm going to make this for you. No, Jesus is active in creation. He is. Everything is created in him, and everything, he is life. Therefore, you are sustained in him. He sustains creation. This is an important fact that we need to understand. He creates and he sustains. But you know, this is what's amazing about him. The Bible teaches that Jesus is eternal. He was in the beginning, and he will be in the end and forevermore. He is the creator of all things. He's the one who makes things, you know, to be able to exist and be sustained. Yet he became a man. He came and dwelt among us. He is the father of creation, therefore he is the father of eternity. I want you to think about this for a second. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Hebrews 1, 10 to 12. And you, Lord, this is God talking about his son Jesus. Okay, referring to Jesus. And you, Lord, Jesus, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. Whose hands? Jesus, once again, they will perish, but you remain, and they all will become old like garments. Remember what the gates of Milan say at the cathedral? All good things or pleasurable things are temporal. All things that disturb us are temporal, but he is there forever. And like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. The Father of eternity, this is Jesus Christ. Nothing is too complex for the Creator and Sustainer. Nothing is too complex for Jesus. So I want to tell you something. This one who we call Eternal Father, this one who we can call Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, he is also the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It doesn't matter where in your story you may be. You may be going through some hardships, but nothing is impossible to him. He is the everlasting Father, the one who creates and sustains, so you can count on him, so he knows your beginning through your end. And if you are in him, then there is no end. Hallelujah. Think about it. He is the Father of eternity. Thanks to Jesus, you can have eternity with him. See, Adam is our father in the flesh. Adam is our father in the flesh. You see, when you look at everybody comes from Adam. You don't come from no monkey. You may have behaved like one once in a while, but we don't come from no monkeys. We come from Adam. God created man and woman. That's what he did. It would have been simple for him to just create animals, and whatever animal mutated to this thing, that would have been it. We could have been a giraffe or whatever, a hippopotamus or a rhinoceros. Or well, you don't like those? But he created all the animals, and then he said, you know what? That is done. That is good, but I'm going to make something even better. He made you. Hallelujah. Psalm 139, he says, we are wonderfully made. That's how great and awesome is this Father eternity. He is the creator. He is the God who created. Jesus is the God who created. And then we talk about, oh, wait a second, but I'm human. Adam is our father in the flesh. When we are first born in this earth, when we are born of water and flesh, you know, like when you come from the womb of your mommy, then all of a sudden you come in here and you are made of flesh, and you're the fatherhood whom, or the heritage you have is you come from Adam. Any, of course. There would have been no you if there would have been no Eve, right? Okay, so it's okay, women. I'm all right with that. So you wear this earthly image which comes from Adam. But in the second Adam, the Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. Did you know that? He comes as a man. And from him, we are reborn. Remember, Jesus found Nicodemus, the great religious guy, and he come asking, what's going on here, master? And Jesus said, you know what? If you're not born of the Spirit, you just can't be saved. And he's like, what? What do you mean? A man's got to go back into mama's womb and come back out again? How does that? He's like, no. You're already born of the water. You know, like women, water breaks and kid comes out. but of the Spirit only through Jesus Christ and his Spirit. So you have to be born again. Simple. That's how you then can spend eternity with God the Father through the work of Jesus, the second Adam, who gives us our second birth. You see, when we come under the dominion of the second Adam, who is Jesus, we receive strength, we receive inward spiritual life. Therefore, our bodies rise again. You see, he is like the seed that is alive, but then is planted on the ground and buried to die so that it may yield fruit. And God says in his word that Jesus is that seed that was planted, who was dead, who was buried, but then life sprung from him. And that life is yours and mine. That's how we have life today. So all of a sudden our makeup has changed. Our everything, not our makeup in the face, you know, our makeup from the inside, please. But we're talking about a regeneration of spirit. We're talking about being reborn into his image and likeness with honor and power and happiness and eternal life. Aren't you happy about that? That life is eternal? Do you wrestle with death? Does anybody here wrestle with death? You know, you may be thinking, yeah, you know, I don't want to die. You know, I think about it and I'm like, oh, I wish I could live forever. You will. Not in this state, because you know what? And when the state you are right now, boo-hoo, it's not your best, okay? Your best is when Jesus comes and transforms you in the blinking of an eye, amen? That'll be the best you can be, so just shed all this stuff, and let's go on to the new in Christ, right? He is the creator. He's the one who makes it all possible. In Adam, we're born of the flesh, but in Jesus, we are born of the Spirit. That means we will never die. We won't die to the Spirit. We will die in the flesh, maybe, you know, but then the Spirit is alive. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. Remember that? Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if a man is in Christ, what? He is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things, including you. That's what's amazing. In John chapter 5 and verse 25, he says, And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Jesus is the one who gives life. Eternity and your eternality is in Jesus and no one else. Jesus himself said a little bit later on in that same chapter, John chapter 5 and verse 25 and 26, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now it is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. See, there is life in Christ and life eternal. Life is given to you. Remember what I said? It's like that little grain of wheat that is thrown and then buried to die. But then when it dies, it springs life. And that's Jesus being our Father, because we sprung, our spiritual life sprung from Jesus himself, so he becomes our eternal Father, or our Father of our eternity, if you think about it. So when we receive Christ, we receive life. And without him, then we can't have life. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, the Bible says. But then he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So he is the only one who gives us life and life eternal. I like the way it says that the government will be upon his shoulder. The government of the world will be upon his shoulder. And to his kingdom, there'll be no decreasing, but increasing. Now, let me ask you something. Is the government of his life or your life over his shoulder? Is the government of your life on his shoulder? Does he rule your life? Does he reign in your and in your heart? Because that's the only way you can experience the true life that he offers, eternal life from the Father of eternity. See, we could be under the old covenant, remember? The law of works. That'll be Adam. Adam will be your daddy. But then you've been adopted by a new daddy in the Spirit. No longer works. No longer that covenant of works or the law to be saved, but the covenant of grace has been given to you. A son will be born to us. A son is given. A child will be born unto us, and that's Jesus. So we're under the covenant of grace. So Christ becomes our Father of eternity. Our generations may make us sons of Adam, but when we come to Christ, we become his children. Therefore, he can be called eternal Father. Number two, let me give you three things about Jesus' character when it comes for him being the eternal Father. Number one, Christ's character does not change. Christ's character does not change. You see, you need to change. Your character needs to change. His doesn't. His is, period. And it is what it's supposed to be. His love does not change. His grace does not change. His forgiveness does not change. Nothing changes in him. I want you to notice that in Revelation, great book. Once again, I say read it and don't be scared of it. Just read it with hopeful heart, because it's a great book. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. This is John describing the one whom he saw on the throne. And this is Jesus. And he says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace. For him who is and who was and who is to come. Who is that? Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Now, let's go a little bit further in verse 14, right there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. He says, his head and his hairs were white like white wool. Hello, you thought that was God the Father? That's Jesus. Oh, man, you mean to tell me Jesus' hair turned white? Yeah, it did, and it will be. That's Jesus right there. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. That could be a little scary, huh? But this is him. This is why Daniel calls him the Ancient of Days. Jesus being God means that the character of Jesus does not change. His love does not change. His mercy does not change. His grace does not change. His forgiveness does not change. Let me tell you something. You have to be trusting God's forgiveness. But you can't take forgiveness and play with it. As a matter of fact, this is one of the things that we as Southern Baptists have been accused for so many years. We've been accused that we take grace for granted because we believe in once saved, always saved. And when we believe in once saved, always saved, what we're saying is we trust the blood of Jesus. We trust Jesus Christ to be our Savior because of what he does, not because of what I can accomplish. Because if it depended on me, I'll lose my salvation every single day, every moment, every hour, every minute, every second. Would you? I don't know about you, but I know I'd be lost if it wasn't for the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. And actually, we don't take that for granted. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Southern Baptist faith and message, if you look at the beginning of the document, it says very clear that we Southern Baptists believe that salvation comes from God and that we cannot earn it. And when you read it, you're like, there you go. Why is it that it is in the first couple of paragraphs of our confession of faith, and yet other denominations keep saying that we take it for granted? Basically, what they're saying is that we Southern Baptists, we believe that we're once saved, always saved, therefore you can live however you want and you'll still be saved. That's not what we believe. That's a half a truth. And half truth are what? Lies. And that's not what we believe. So, and you may, hey, if ever you want to, you can go online and read the Baptist Faith and Message, the 2000 edition. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website and it says what we believe, and you'll start looking through and you'll find it and you can see it and read it for yourself. It's a good document, good thing to know, okay? So we're thinking, oh, and I went off track here for a little second, but hey. But what I'm trying to say is that his forgiveness is permanent. He forgives us, and we can count on his forgiveness. His forgiveness and his mercy and his grace and his love, because his character doesn't change. It's not like he's not like you. You're merciful today, and tomorrow you're gruesomely bad and evil, right? With that same person. But he's not like that. That is not the character of God. From the beginning of time into eternity, Jesus' character has never changed. It is never altered. And if we look at the Bible and what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to think about a little story that it might be a little meaningful to you. You might have heard about it. You might have read about it. The prodigal son. The prodigal son. We were just singing a moment ago. Here's a song that we sing during Christmas time. Glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, let the loud harps ring. Guess what? It sounds Christmassy, but it's telling the story of the prodigal son. Did you notice that in the song? You didn't? Okay, everybody, come on back here. Let's play it again. I don't think so. Just think about it. It's saying this he's been ransomed. He comes back to the Father. All that. It's telling the story of the prodigal son. It's telling the story that we should all resonate. It should resonate in our hearts. But let me ask you something. When you think of the prodigal son, he decided to come back home, right? After he'd been down in the lowest of the pits and the nastiest of the pits of sin, he decides, I'm going to come back home. Why would you think that after all he had done, that he had the courage to think that he could come back home? Have you ever thought about that? Why would he even think about going back home? Was it because he thought, well, you know, I did leave home. I did mess up. But when I was home, I was a good kid. No, not really. I wasn't. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go back home because I have my other brother that stayed home. And he is no good anyway. So he's even worse than me. So I can come back home. No. That wouldn't be a reason. Well, I'm going to come back home anyway because, hey, in my house, they got to take me in. No. I think there was something very, very, very special here. When the prodigal son comes back home, it's probably because he knew who his father was. And that the same father that he left was going to be the same father that he would go to when he went back home. Do you believe that? Because he knew what kind of father he had. He knew the character of his father wouldn't change. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the story, it's not so much about the prodigal son. It's more about the father who represents God and his mercy and grace and loving and forgiving, no matter what the son did, embracing him. You know, the relationship with his father, he was saying, I'm not worthy to be called his son anymore. I'm not even going to go there as a son. I'm going to go as a worker, as a servant. His relationship, his position and everything, he thought is going to change because of what I did. But because of who the father was, he was restored as a son. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't about him and what he could accomplish or do. He knew that his father was something, and that something was never changing. His grace doesn't change. He knew the character of his father was consistent. He knew that his father was full of grace and forgiveness. If not, he wouldn't have came back home. If he knew he had a ruthless father, he knew, oh, my dad ain't going to take me back because when I left, he said, don't you ever come back around here. No, he knew he could come back because he knew his father. He knew his father was full of mercy, full of love. That's why we can trust our relationship with God. Remember what I was saying a moment ago about being saved and always saved? It's not because I can trust what I can do before God, but I can trust what he did for me and that he never changes. My relationship with God may be in ups and downs because of me, but because of him, it stays there. We're always in relationship with him because he is faithful. He never changes. That's an amazing thing. No matter what we've done, no matter how far away we may roam around the earth, Jesus is always waiting with his arms open to throw them right around us. To assure us that he loves us and he will always do that. He will never change. He is the everlasting Father. And that literally means that he is the ruler and he is the authority and he possesses that authority and he can deny access or give access to eternal life. Because he is the Father of eternity. He owns eternity. And he can choose whether he gives it to you with the Father or not. He's the Messiah, loving, forgiving, graceful, merciful. And his character will never change. Let me go. Next one. Christ's compassion does not change. Christ's compassion does not change. Not only his character doesn't change, his compassion does not change. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9:36 says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if you understand what the relationship between sheep and shepherd, you understand that sheep die without a shepherd. So they were dying. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. They die on their own. So he saw the people. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He's talking about the people he is meeting every day, whether it is in Jerusalem, in Nazareth, Galilee, and wherever he went. He just saw everybody, people with compassion. And you've heard me say it, that compassion in this sense means your entrails, your internal organs going and feeling that pain from within. The splachna is what it's called for the Greek. And it's like, have you ever had that when you see something and it just messes up with your... Basically, they thought that it was the kidneys. What they thought about was it messes up your kidneys. That was the thought of the Jewish people. But it messes up your heart. And everything inside of you just gets churning. And that's how Jesus felt. Because he saw us exactly how we were and how we needed him. And he's never changing. He's always going to feel that. He's always going to feel that. He's always going to be compassionate. His compassion moves him to rescue us. That's why he came. That's why this eternal Father of eternity, this Jesus Christ, came to save us. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. Mark chapter 1, 40 and 41. And the leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Check this out. And this is Jesus' answer. Moved with what? Compassion. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. Guess what? Jesus is always willing. Always. Eternally willing. He is always willing. Now remember something? I just talked about compassion here. Now this is something that I've seen it so many times, and you've probably seen it, but maybe have not noticed. In the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. Luke 15, 20. Check this out. So he got up and came to his father. This is a prodigal son. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Wow. This is the kind of God we have. A God of compassion. A God that just cannot stand. His whole inner being just gets about seeing us in the midst of sin. And he runs. He runs to us and he embraces us and he kisses us. That's what he did when he sent Jesus. He saw you and me in sin and darkness. And he sent his son to embrace us and to have his arms open wide for us. Suffering. You see, compassion has a thing about suffering with another person. Having sympathy and empathy and all that together is a sensation of sorrow, exciting, distressed, and misfortune of another just kind of gets to you. And you compound that with love and it just becomes something that it's unbelievable how much God loves us. His compassion never changes for us. Jesus was moved to compassion to the point where he was willing to give his life for us. His compassion moves us to save us, and that never changes. He will always want to embrace you in his arms, always. Jesus always will want to come to you. Jesus will always want to embrace you. We live in a world that's broken. We live in a world where we can be broken in so many ways. You get scratched up, you get dinged up, you get dented in your life, of course. Sometimes physically and sometimes emotionally, but yet, we live in a world that we can get hurt, period. But we have a Savior who heals us. Amen? We have an eternal Father who cares for us always. We can have broken bones, broken relationships, broken hearts. No matter what's broken in your life or in this world, He is the one who can eternally have compassion over you and me. And because of our suffering, He decided to come and suffer for us. I'm so glad that Jesus was moved with compassion for a poor sinner like me. Jesus is our eternal Father. And not only He has, His character never changes, His compassion never changes, but also His commitment never changes. It made me think about the compassion and how sometimes we think of salvation, and we see, for example, Noah's Ark as a representation of saving. I don't know if we could call that a representation of saving. Nobody got saved except Noah's family. Everybody else got punished. You see, because at that point, it was something like, you know, you build it, you make it, they will come. No, they didn't come. And that's what happens, that we think we can get on the ark and come back out of the ark whenever we want to. What we forget is that it wasn't an ark for us. It was a cross that our Jesus went to. And it's not about what I did, but what He has done, His compassion for me. But also commitment. Jesus was challenged so many times, and yet He never turned back. Amen? He just kept going up Calvary, up to Calvary. Now, being that His commitment never changes, then He is always faithful. Amen? He is always faithful. God is always faithful. Jesus is always faithful. The Spirit is always faithful. He is faithful. And when I say He is faithful, I say He is faithful forever. And when I say forever, that's everlasting, never ending. We can apply that to His goodness, His mercy, His trustworthiness, His faithfulness, everything. That's why Isaiah can call Him Eternal Father. He is always faithful. Even the prophet Jeremiah, if you look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord God. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. God has promised to commit Himself to us because He is the Father of eternity, everlasting. Everything that He does it permanently. You get that? Everything that He does permanently. You see, we don't. We have to redo and undo stuff. God never has to undo to redo anything. What He does permanently. You get that? He doesn't have to change things around and say, oops, I saved Shannon. I shouldn't have done that. Let me take that back. Maybe later on when she earns it, I can save her again. Aren't you glad that He's permanent, Shannon? Praise the Lord. I'm always picking on Shannon. I don't want to pick on Cookie. She get mad at me. That's why. So here we go. Let's get on with it. He is faithful, and also He can be trusted. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. He's always there for you. He will not abandon you. His character never changes. Never changes. His compassion does not change. His commitment does not change. And if He doesn't change, then why would we change anything about Him or try? Or why would we change our faith? Knowing that He is faithful and that He is always trustworthy is one thing we can hang on to, because He is the Father of eternity. Therefore, everything He does and all that He is eternal. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.